Welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and this is your host, Charlotte. Today, we're talking to our old friend. I would call you Shiv or Captain Shahla. Is that correct?
Sure, I don't mind.
Right. So how do you want us to call you?
You can call me whatever you
want. Captain. I like to call you Captain because we know that you have a very non-traditional path. In terms of what you did. And from like a quick recap, you were a bodyguard in the very beginning for a long time. And you met a lot of people, and then later on you did something else. From what I knew, you were somebody who started to learn how to drive helicopter. And I thought that was impressive already, but last time from a quick chat, we knew that you are a big fan of riding motorbikes. Could you share a little bit that experience with us?
Sure, I can do that. Because I grew up basically a hillbilly out in the woods and outside of big communities. So we did have a lot of like dirt bikes, like motorcycles for off-road. And that's where I started getting interested in them. And I've always had a lot of adventure in my life, like hunting, fishing, hiking, whatever.
Right.
As long as it was outdoors, I enjoyed it and I loved it. And so my older brothers and my older cousins, they got into motorcycles, and eventually, you know, I was able to get out and ride and enjoy them too. And so I really enjoyed, like, jumping them.
Well, how old were you?
I was pretty young. I think when they first started coming around, I must have been about seven or eight years old.
Oh, like teenager?
No, when I was 7 or 8.
Oh, 7 or 8.
Yeah. So
you started to ride motorbikes? Or
yeah.
Were you able to? Was that allowed?
Well, I don't think it is nowadays.
Okay.
But back when I was growing up, you know,
right,
as long as there was stuff around, we would try it and learn. And so it just became something that I really enjoyed and I really got to love. And then for a long time, I wasn't able to ride or anything. But I think it was because of my love of riding horses.
Oh, riding horses.
Yeah.
Right. So you started to ride horses even before you made the motorbike. So that was before 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just kind of crazy.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, I know when I think back about it and I talk about my history and just learning and remembering that, I grew up riding horses.
Right.
And even back then, there was a lot of, like, buggies, like horse and buggy stuff.
Okay.
That my grandparents and great-grandparents used to use and operate and before cars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was still a lot of that old equipment around that I grew up around. And to me, that was just all normal, and horses were normal, and that was what we got around on. And then the bikes started coming around, and motorbikes started coming around, and I started to enjoy that too.
Interesting. So how long have you been riding motorbikes? Did you start at one point, or you're still riding them?
Well, I was very young when I started riding them, like 7, 8 years old. And then I think around 17 or 18, our motorbike quit working. We did have a few other ones that we were trying to get going, but never able to get going again. And then fast forward a bunch of years, maybe 20 years or so, and I decided I wanted to get back into riding motorcycles again. And I kind of got inspired by, there was a TV program where these two guys were traveling around on motorcycles. I think they traveled across Russia even.
Okay, so that inspired you to get back to riding motorbikes.
Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting because we really wanted to talk about this because in China right now, it started to become a hot topic, like hottest than ever in China, because there is a brand called Zhang Xue. So the owner of this brand is named Zhang Xue. So he's been super enthusiastic to riding motorbikes when he was young, which was probably 20 years ago, or probably even longer than that. And back then, China was not as developed. And this person, Zhang Xue, was not ready to be able to manufacture anything, was not able to even join these games or competitions, but he wanted to. So he was working on that. And later on, he realized that he could never win the championship from the motorbiking or motorcycling game or a competition, right? So he started to manufacture this. So he opened a factory and just built those motorbikes and completely from scratch. And then this year, which was less than a month ago, his brand, Zhang Xue Motorbikes, won the championship, which means they actually successfully beaten up brands like Yamaha's or those original brand. They were just from Europe, from Japan. So can I ask what the knowledge could you share with us about the normal popular brand from this motorbike or motorbike riding areas, how people choose them, and what's the reputation of those, and how hard it is to become better than those?
Well, from what I grew up with, we had an old Kawasaki. An old Kawasaki model from Japan. And it had a big reputation of just the reliability, very well-built and strong. And so for me, that was always my goal, was Kawasaki. I was just so interested in Kawasaki because it had the highest reputation that I knew of at the time anyway.
In Canada.
Yeah. And it was just something that I always had an interest in. And even for the street bikes, like the Kawasaki Ninjas, they're very fast. They're racing bikes. And when I decided to go on the highway, because it's a big difference from the country to the highway, because if you crash in the country, you know, it's very rare that you get injured. You can, but it's not as bad as if you're on the highway, because you're facing cement and lots of hard surfaces. And that was my goal, was to get another Kawasaki, but maybe for the road racing.
Okay.
High speed, strong. And I was always interested in the racing, too.
So I kind of can't tell, right? Like, that's a lot of guys' dream to be, like, so cool and on the racing game.
Yeah. It's. I remember after I decided to go onto the highways, I decided maybe I should get some training.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I decided, well, it's different. It's different than being in the country. So I thought, well, there's other people out there that have done this for a long time, and they'll probably give me a lot of knowledge and information that'll help me keep alive and survive. So,
right.
And so I did. I took a course, a local one here in New Westminster, Justice Institute. And so I took the course there, and I did learn quite a bit.
Right. So just to clear a confusion, when you mentioned country, I would assume it's a countryside versus urban.
Yes.
Instead of country as a nation, right?
Yeah.
So you mean before you were just riding motorbikes in the countryside, but then you decided to go on highway, which normally existed in the cities. So you picked the racing motorbikes, right? Or street motorbikes. Could you share a little bit about what's the difference? How should we pick them?
Yeah, well, with the countryside, they're the motorcycles that are built for the countries, the shocks are different. So it's built for going over rocks and logs, and the clearance is higher. So you're able to get on old trails and roads, and it just makes it safer when you have more clearance and better suspension system. And although you can't, when you get the street motorcycles, you can't jump as much. Okay. Which is, makes me sad.
wait, so, like, you mean, like, riding the motorbikes and the jump from, like, I'm not so sure because from what I saw or watched, the racing games doesn't seem like need jump at all, or do they?
I know.
So, what's the difference?
Makes me sad.
Oh, so you're supposed to, or like if I say I wanted to pick up motorbikes, as a beginner, what bikes should we pick? And at what level we should change from your experiences or back to when you get started, when you change from street motorbikes to racing motorbikes? Like, how can we just get into the access and understanding more easily?
I would not follow what I'd done.
What did you do?
Well, I went right into the biggest, strongest bike I could find, pretty much. I ended up getting a Ducati 1100, which is a big, powerful motorcycle. They call it the monster.
Okay.
And it is. It's very strong. But I think I just fell in love with it because it had a lot of power and it was fast and it gave me the sense of horse riding.
I see. So that's racing one, right? Racing motorbikes or straight motorbikes?
Well, they considered that one, it's in a classification called the naked motorcycle.
Okay, what is that?
It's a race bike, but they take the fairings off. Because on race bikes, they have these special covers that make it more aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic,
and,
I see.
So it pushes the wind away from you. So with a naked bike, and it doesn't have those fairings, the wind just hits you straight on.
Oh, I see. So can I understand, because of the racing motorbikes allows you to ride really fast, so that's why they have this aero...
the aerodynamic fairings.
Okay. But normal street bikes, you don't need those, so that's why they take it off. And however, they have the engine or other things the same as racing one. That's what called... The naked.
Yeah, that's why they call it a naked motorcycle, because they take those parts off. And I think it also reduces the cost of them, too. But you still get the full effects of the power. So you can do wheelies and stuff, but you feel the full effect of the wind.
I see.
So I remember... going down the highway, and if you do go fast, it's like the wind pushes you.
Right.
And it almost wants to pull you right off the bike because the wind just hits you so hard.
So it hits you from forward.
Yeah.
And then, so is that like make it more dangerous?
It does. In some cases, though, it is helpful because you can use your body, like if you go upright.
Right.
The wind hits you and it causes drag, so it'll slow down faster.
Oh, okay.
So in some ways that's good, but you still got to be strong to hold on. Otherwise, you know, it can pull you right off the bike. So
I see. So so for the many people who started to ride this, and especially like I mentioned in China, we see a big trend where more people get excited, knows that they probably just wanted to try this brand because they feel proud of it, right?
Oh yeah.
And also the government trying to adjust the policies to serve people. However, we don't know where's the boundaries, and as what you just shared, it could be really dangerous. And seems like we wanted to be carefully choose the right type of the bike for us, right? Could you share? I'm not so sure, because it sounds like if I don't have to go to the competition, I want to choose the racing bikes and ride really fast, become really cool, it's still allowed. I can still do that. I don't have a license or something like that, right?
Well, it's better to work your way up. Like I was bringing out, I have a background in riding bikes, and so I had a lot of balance to begin with.
Right.
As I mentioned, you know, I was jumping my dirt bikes. So it does take some skill in doing that too. And so if you don't have that background, you're not going to know how the bike's going to land and operate when you're going fast around the corner and stuff. So I would suggest a lower CC bike because the one that I chose was 1100 CCs, which is a fairly big bike engine.
So what is the basic?
You can get down to like 250 cc.
Okay.
300 cc.
Okay.
That's a good start because then you can start getting used to the power. You can start getting used to the feel in the corners and stuff. And you can not get into trouble as much.
I see. So do you need a certain training to be able to ride those bikes, especially from what you know nowadays?
Yes, I would say so. It was very helpful to go through the training and learn. One of the things that they were teaching us was the bikes that are made nowadays, they're so balanced. They're so balanced, they're so professional, and the bike will easily outdo you. You can't outride the bike. So it's something that we can trust in, like from the sounds of the Chinese manufacturer and the bike to win a race. You know, that takes a lot of technology, takes a lot of smartness to build a bike right from scratch and then win a race. That's pretty incredible. That's like, that's a high accomplishment for sure.
Yeah. And but like, I think a lot of fans of riding motorbikes, right? It's just, I think they're chasing, from my assumption, there's two things. One is the identity, right? Like, oh, I am a person who's riding motorbikes, as if I'm a person who play golf, something like that, right? It gives me some kind of self-recognition of, oh, this type of person is who I want to be. And to elaborate, I would say, oh, I'm able to have control of this very dangerous, powerful machine and allows me to ride so super fast. So I guess that identity would represent certain type or certain level of power. But on the other hand, I'm sure it brings a very focused experiences, fun experiences. And I can imagine riding so fast, or we don't recommend riding so fast, but like it cannot be slow, right? It probably needs us to be really focused and brings us the state of flow, that kind of feeling. What kind of experiences that still in your memory while you were riding motorbikes, either hanging out and making friends from other places, from different backgrounds, or you had some special experiences that make you feel like this is so cool and I really love it?
Well, I remember one time I was going having a good time and enjoying it so much. I remember the experience after, you know, I was able to slow down and contemplate what happened. I remembered it reminded me of like when I was really young and riding my horses, and I remember one of the funnest things I would do when I was riding my horses is we would jump. So we'd like jump over a log or a ditch, and you know, you're on this big animal, 500 or 800 pound animal, and you're flying through the air like 20 feet, and it's kind of like riding on a planet. Because you know, you can't really feel anything as you're going.
You can or you can't?
No, you can't.
You can't.
It's like being in a car.
Oh.
You know, you're going like 100 Ks or whatever down the highway.
Okay.
You're driving, but it's you know, you could almost imagine sitting on the couch and not feeling anything.
Interesting.
So as I'm flying through the air on this horse, I was expecting to feel something, but it was like I'm on a planet just sitting there as we're flying through space.
Oh, interesting. I thought you have to be so aware of controlling and riding a horse, so you're actually not. Or you master the skills so that you're just fully in that feeling.
Yeah,
is that a good feeling? Or?
Oh, yeah. It was great because, like I said, it was like a planetary experience. Like you're on a different planet. It felt like it. Riding motorcycles brought me that same type of feeling. Like flying through the air on a big 800-pound beast, and so I realized, like, man, this is very special. I was fully aware of the dangers because once I started riding motorcycles and wanting to learn about it, I really researched a lot. So I would look on YouTube and learn from other people that were riding. And they give you a lot of tips. They show you a lot of things that you shouldn't do and you should avoid. And so this helped me to realize, okay, I got to be very careful because, you know, you can make a mistake and that could be your last mistake, especially on motorcycles.
Right.
So I started to develop my mind for riding motorcycles, and it became very therapeutic.
Right.
Because I knew about the danger, and I was trying to, you know, survive. And and just growing up and being so adventurous and more or less, I guess, addicted to adrenaline. I think it made me feel alive.
Right.
So just being so close to that, I guess, the death line made me feel alive. And but at the same time, you know, I gotta stay alive.
Right.
You know, it's not good to die before you should.
Yeah.
But I realized, okay, well, I'm so close to death all the time. And the way to stay from death is just to focus. So I realized, okay, as I'm riding, doing everything, I'm going to shut down everything.
In your mind.
So, yeah. So, you know, we go through life and we're thinking about different problems and issues.
Right, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, and they can be overwhelming and they can really bother us. And I found the way to get by all that noise is to put myself in danger, I guess.